Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 my friends, and welcome to Will the Real Me Please Stand Up Christian Broadcast. I am super, super excited to be discussing my favorite topic, and that is prayer. I am your host, Terry Moore, founder and CEO of Terry L. Moore and Team. I am an inspirational speaker, breakthrough coach, workshop facilitator, and I'm in the process of writing a book called Face to Face with God, My Best Friend. If you'd like to tune in to any of my previous episodes, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/Terry L. Moore and Team. That is B as in boy, L-O-G, talkradio.com/Terry, T-E-R-R-I, L, Moore and Team. My friends, I am confident what you hear tonight will change your prayer life. So grab your drink, your pen, and your paper, and let's get started. Okay, if you would like to make a comment about a prayer that's been answered in your life, please feel free to hit the number one button on the phone, and I will get to it. Most of my talk tonight is going to be pretty much my own personal prayer life. I'm opening up and becoming very vulnerable with all my listeners. So let's go to our Heavenly Father. God, thank you for all the listeners on this call this evening. It is awesome to know people want to learn how to increase their prayer life with you. It's an honor, God, to be able to inspire and teach on my favorite spiritual topic, prayer. I love to pray to you and watch you work. Please work in the hearts of those that are listening. Please, God, guide and direct me and help me to be able to inspire all those out there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let me ask you a question. So, my friends, how is your prayer life going? How do you think God thinks it's going? So tonight, we're going to look at three different types of prayers. And as I said just a minute ago, I'm going to be real with you. It is going to be an encouraging time. And I am dedicating this to all my friends who have encouraged me to do this segment. I have a reputation in my church as a crazy prayer warrior, and I am proud to wear that title. So first and foremost, we must get Matthew 7, verse 7, deep into our hearts. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. Perhaps this is why our lives are in a disarray at times, because we do not ask. If we are not asking, we are not seeking. We must learn to ask and knock. So my question is, are you asking? Are you taking control and not talking to God about things? Or are you asking? And are you seeking? And are you knocking? You know, I am seeing so many prayers answered lately in my own personal life. I'm a little overwhelmed from time to time with just how incredibly loving and faithful God is when we pray to Him. You know, how many of us gets anxious about things? I know I do. You know, I throw that scripture out the window where it says in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Some days I just forget that scripture is in there. And I'm really praying to get stronger with this scripture. Because as I've shared in many radio talk shows so far, 2015 has been a year of testing. And I want my faith to be developed into a very strong faith. So God hears that and He just keeps putting me through things. But, you know, as we grow in our faith and intimacy with God, we find ourselves giving things over to Him much faster and easier than we used to. This is true with me at times. But lately, no, it's been more difficult because these have been big areas. Someday soon, I will be doing a segment on this, but I haven't arrived there yet. But for now, when we live out Philippians 4:6, this frees us up to pray for others. The focus is no longer on our own needs and wants, but on the needs of others around us. You know, people all the time ask me, what is my formula to my prayer life? Because they have witnessed God answer my prayers over and over again, sometimes in just a matter of minutes. You know, my friends, I have a very simple formula in three steps. The first one, you have to think of God as Santa Claus. Okay, now hear me out. When we were kids and our parents took us to see Santa Claus, when we jumped on Jolly St. Nick's lap and we gave him our wish list and told him everything we wanted, he looked at us and said, I will do what I can, or whatever he said. But you left his lap trusting that he was going to deliver everything that he had promised. That's what a trust factor is. And that's what I think about when I'm going through really tough times. I'm like, no, I'm going to sit on God's lap, and I'm going to look him in the eyes, and I'm going to express what I need, and I'm going to trust that when I leave off, you know, I get off his lap, and then you have to remember I'm a very imaginary person, that he's going to deliver in his own timing. That's the big key right there. You have to trust God that he's going to deliver in his own timing. And sometimes, boy, we can really blow it. Okay, number two, we need to make God real in our lives. You know, I hear so many times people are calling God beings, or he's up there someplace. You know, in order to have a good prayer life, you really have to understand who you're talking to. And so in my book that I'm writing, The Face-to-Face with God, I'm talking about how we need to make God real in our lives. And it's going to be a really exciting chapter. And number three, we have to believe he has already answered our prayer before we pray. I'm going to give you an example. I don't really like flying, okay? Flying on an airplane can scare me at times, definitely the takeoff. So what I do is I pray in my seat, and I tell God, I just say to God, you, God, that this plane has already arrived in Cancun or St. Petersburg or Myrtle Beach or wherever we have flown to. And that really helps me to just trust him. I prayed the prayer, I must believe and not doubt. A lot easier said than done, though, that's for sure. So those are my three steps. Nothing magical about it. Okay, but you know, God has a sense of humor, and he loves it when we pray and ask for fun things. He thrives on our laughter when he answers them and watches our face light up. So we're going to look at the first type of prayer is the fun prayer. This is what I call the fun prayer. I'm going to share some prayers with you that I prayed. Okay, so Scott and I get married, and we go on our honeymoon to Myrtle Beach. Okay, we get out of the airport. We get into a cab. Cab driver goes, what are y'all doing down here this week? This is going to be a horrible week. We're going to have hurricanes and thunderstorms and flooding and everything else. Next week would have been a much better week. Well, Scott and I looked at each other, and we were thinking the same exact thing. And it's like, not on my honeymoon. It's not. So we get into our hotel room. We turn on the weather forecast. Sure enough, it is exactly what the cab driver said. However, we ended up going to our knees, begging God, and I mean begging God, and I said, God, you know, I have waited so long to get remarried, and I have waited so long to be able to go on another honeymoon. So I'm really begging you, God, that it does not rain on this honeymoon, that it will be 80 to 82 degrees every day, crystal blue skies where we can get into the ocean, and that's that. And I'm happy to say that God answered every one of our prayers, I mean every single one of our prayers, and people were wondering what in the world happened. We would go into restaurants and they'd go, wow, this is awesome weather. We were supposed to have this and that. And Scott and I would just look at each other because we knew where it came from, and we gave God all the glory. My second fun prayer is I used to work at a carpet store, and the owners had a dog there named Clyde. He was a beautiful golden retriever, and he and I just fell in love with each other. And so on lunchtime, I would take him out to McDonald's or something, and we were just buddies. And then one day, my boss came in. He says, "Terry, I need to see you." And he sat down with the door shut, and I was like, "Oh, my goodness." He said, "I want to let you know that Kathy and I are retiring," that's his wife, "and we're moving to Florida, and we're going to give up our dogs." I'm like, "What? You're going to give up your dogs? I mean, I'm an animal lover. If I ever retire, my dogs are going with me." So anyway, he says, "We're going to give Clyde to somebody that we know." And my heart just fell. And so to make a long story short, I just kind of, you know, went with the flow. And then the closer the time came, I realized that this guy really was going to take Clyde. And so I went home that night. I was crying because I love that dog so much. And I said, "God, I don't mean any harm to come to anybody, but I want Clyde. So you have to do whatever it takes to allow me to have that dog. Please, I beg you, I want that dog." And God, listen, my wonderful listeners out there, God wants to hear the seriousness of our hearts. So the next day, I had to go to work. I was supposed to say goodbye to Clyde. And Mike calls me into the office again. He says, "Terry," he said, "I don't know what happened, but Eric called me last night and said that he and his wife talked and they can no longer take Clyde. And you are the first choice that we have. So would you like to take Clyde?" And at first I was like such in a daze when I heard all this. I was like, "Take Clyde where?" He goes, "Permanently." I was like, "Oh my gosh, oh my gosh." And I was crying and I was laughing and I knew God was answering my prayer. Then I had to go home and convince my husband. So I made his favorite dinner and yada, yada, yada. But anyway, my husband knew the owners too. Well, my husband already knew this was going to take place. So I was actually kind of manipulating him. And yes, he's on the call, so sorry about that. And then my last one is, it was 3 years ago, and after we lost Clyde and my two cats, we were free for animals for a while, and I was starting to have resentment towards my husband because I've never been without animals that long. And I started praying about it, and I approached him, and I said, "Honey, you know my birthday's next month." He goes, "Yes." I said, "I know what I want." He goes, "What do you want?" And I said, "A puppy." And so God loved my husband. He was like, "Well, you've been really patient, so let's do it." So we started praying. And the dog that we have just came out of the blue and fell in love with my husband. And I could go on, but there's not enough time on this segment to do that. But God answered my prayer. I wanted a puppy, and I didn't even know what I wanted. And the breed that we have with Lily is two crossbreeds, a Minchin, that I never thought I'd ever have. And we love her dearly. So that's that. But perhaps the reason is we don't really understand the types of prayers is because we view our Heavenly Father as a strict, conditional, loving, belt-type father that some of us had growing up. I know this. This is how I viewed God. Because I had this type of father until I really studied out God's characteristic, I just remained the same. But once I really studied his characteristics out, my life changed dramatically. So perhaps the other reason is we only see God as a serious God. Okay, so I'm going to challenge you. I want you to just let God off the hook and have some fun with him. Make his day. Learn to pray fun, specific prayers. It will build your faith in ways you never thought possible. Okay, now, the second type of prayer I'm going to talk about tonight is the serious prayer. And, you know, unfortunately, at times, we do not understand why God is doing the things he is doing with us or to us. I can honestly say it is because he loves us so much that he doesn't want us to stay the way we are. Why? Because he has so much more for us to do for his glory. You know, the most serious prayer ever prayed is in Matthew 26, verse 36, where Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was so troubled on having to die like this, he had to pray three times to get his emotions under control before he surrendered to his Father's will. Well, what about us? When we are faced with serious trials, how much do we ante up our prayer life, or do we and get caught up in all the emotions and confusion? I can honestly say this happens to me. I think it happens to most women out there because our emotions can take over our entire mind in a matter of seconds. I'm really working on this in my own life. Well, I want to share with you three of my most serious prayers I have ever had to pray. My first one, I was raised in an alcoholic family, my dad, my mom, and my brother. One day, I got so tired of my father's drinking because all of a sudden I noticed that he was starting to drink hard liquor rather than beer, and he was eating so many sweets. It was just unbelievable. So I went on a prayer walk, and I prayed, and I said, God, whatever it takes, I want my dad to stop drinking. And basically, you're surrendering is what you're doing. I totally surrendered it. So God, whatever it takes, I want my dad to stop drinking, and I want my family back. And I was very fervent in that prayer. The next day, my mom calls, and she says, I think you need to come over. I think your dad, something's wrong with your dad. I went over there, and he had had a stroke. So, guess what? I felt very guilty. I felt like that was my fault for many, many months. No matter how much I prayed, talked to my friends, I felt like I did that to my dad. But let me tell you something. We don't have that much power. God's the one that has the power. And when he had an episode one time, we took him to a doctor, and the doctor came out to me and he said, if your dad would not have stopped drinking, you would not have your dad right now because he was going into a diabetic coma. And that really eased my mind a little bit. So my dad did last for a while after that, and then he passed away of pancreatic cancer. I had to release myself from all those emotions right there. So the next one, I shared on the talk shows before that I was sexually assaulted by a guy with a knife at a shopping center. This went on. What happened was there was a lawsuit that came to be with all this. I was actually suing the shopping center for negligence on security's part. And that's a long story. But so for 5 years, I was going to a psychologist, lawyers, going through many depositions, art therapy, you name it. I was going through it. I had enough. So I wanted it to be behind me. And so one day at work, I locked myself in a closet and I got away from everybody. And I asked God to please let this be over by 5 o'clock today. Now we're talking 5 years, okay? So I'm praying that it would be over with by 5 o'clock that night. I need my life back. I told God I am struggling with all this. So basically, I called the attorney and I said, I want Max to call me ASAP, please. Well, Max had taken off to the airport and he wouldn't be back for a week, they said. So I prayed. I was like, God, please, whatever you have to do, do not let him get to the airport. Turn that car around and make him come back to the office. And so I honestly didn't know what was happening. And he called me and he said, so I hear that you're wanting this to be over with. And basically what happened was he left his briefcase at the office and he had to turn around and go back. I said, yes, I do. I want this over with. He says, well, I don't know if I can get a hold of anybody, but I'll call the shopping center lawyers and see what we can do. And I said, okay, I know I'm going to hear back from you today, though. So anyway, about 4:58, there's no call, no call, no call. and $4.59, nothing. And I was like, oh, gosh, come on, God. You've got 1 minute to work here. I really want to get this behind me. And at 5 o'clock on the dot, the attorney called and said, I just want to let you know, it is done. It is over with. You can come into my office tomorrow. You know, I didn't really care how much of the settlement I received. I just wanted it to be completely out of my life so I could move on and work for God. And the third one is my husband's surgery. He had surgery on June 15th this year. And, you know, this really, really tested my faith. And for months before the surgery, I was praying and praying and praying and praying. Most of my friends were praying. I mean, you know, my whole church was praying, actually. And there was times it was just like, no matter what, how many times I prayed, I just felt very uneasy about the whole situation. And then I had to surrender it to God. And I'm so grateful that I did, because one of the most specific prayers I prayed the day of the surgery is that I would be at peace the whole entire day. First of all, I had friends around me and family, so I didn't want them to see me flip out, which I usually don't flip out. But, you know, it was still a scary time. And I'm happy to say that God really did answer that prayer, because I felt very much at peace the whole time he was having surgery. So here's my question. Do we trust God enough to help us deal with all of these emotions and hand them over to him? Or do we drive ourselves crazy and others trying to figure it out by ourselves? And finally, because I'm running out of time, but and finally, the crazy prayers I have prayed. So I'm going to go through this pretty fast. Right now, I have one friend asking me to pray for her son's wedding day this Saturday for no rain and a certain temperature. I recently received a conviction from God that when someone asks me to pray for something in person or over the phone, instead of saying okay, I'm going to say sure. It's going to be right there, right now. Because I may forget, and I don't want to be responsible for that. You know, I have friends asking me to pray for jobs, houses, boyfriends, girlfriends, and some of my friends are asking me to pray that they get pregnant. No pressure, right? Well, let me tell you something. I am truly honored that they see Christ in me enough to ask me to do this. I love to pray. Do you know why we do not trust God in prayer at times? I believe the reason is because we cannot see the outcome, and we absolutely can freak and flip out. Okay, on to my four craziest prayers I've ever prayed. This comes with a warning. When you pray specifically, you have to be careful in how you ask God. It can come at any time without warning. So my first one is, okay, my husband worked during the night on a night shift, and I was watching him drive in his old ragged van as I was watching out the window, and I prayed, God, whatever it takes, I want that man to have a new van. Well. So, 6 o'clock in the morning, I get a phone call that he's in the hospital. And so I rush to the hospital, not even remembering that I prayed this, and then I get in and I see him on a neck with a neck brace on. I was like, uh-oh. Well, I didn't tell him for a while that I prayed that prayer, but the good news is he did get a good van out of it, and he was not injured, so praise God for that. You know, when Beacon of Hope had their Bow Wow Luau to raise money for our foster pet program this year, it was outside of the park. The weather forecast was not looking good, and they're calling for rain, and I was praying, and my friends were praying, we cannot have any rain or hot weather because of the dogs. And I'm so happy to say that God answered every one of our prayers. It was 72 degrees, no rain, no storms. It was just a perfect day for the dogs. So I praise God for that one. But you can see how crazy I can get with my prayers. Did you know that we can actually change God's mind? If he has something set for us, we can actually go to him and say, but God, if I can just do this, will you listen to me, you know? And that's for a whole nother topic. One of my other favorite crazy prayers is, last year I was sitting in my staff meeting and talking to my staff, and all of a sudden I went blank. And I said, oh my gosh, I just had a vision. Of course, they're like, oh Lord, they know my visions will get them working. I said, I have this vision that we're going to be at the Pepsi Coliseum in October for Domestic Violence Awareness Month. We're going to partner with Casting Crowns, the number one Christian artist in the world and my favorite band. And I'm going to be up on stage speaking in front of 4,000 to 5,000 people. And they looked at me like, you've lost your mind. I said, well, yeah, I'm just telling you what I'm picking up here and what kind of vision I'm having. And so it was because I had met them personally prior to this vision, okay, because they're my favorite band. So in March, I heard something on the radio saying that they were coming to town. Well, we tried to get them in here, the board of directors and I, and it was going to be very, very expensive, and we could not afford that. So when I heard that they were coming, I prayed and I said, I remember exactly where I was turning. I was going to the post office. I know what street I was on, and I prayed. I said, God, please, I would love for you to work it out where we can partner together with Casting Crowns. I don't know how, but I know who you are, and I trust you. And then I let it go at that. Well, June, I received a phone call, and it was from the production manager at Casting Crowns. And make a long story short, we did go to the Pepsi Coliseum. I did speak on stage in front of 4,000 people. We did get to meet them again. We did do a fundraiser, and God just blew it right out of the water. Okay? Now, on for the craziest prayer I have ever done in my entire Christian days. All right, April 30th, 1994, 10 o'clock in the morning, I pray a very specific prayer. God, I need a companion in my life. I'm going to give you such a large order, you're going to have trouble fulfilling this. And I had to pray that because then I knew I wouldn't be in control. All right, I gave God probably 46 things on my list for a man. And I said, okay, God, so I listed all that out. And at the end, I said, okay, God, I know you're going to think I'm nuts, but that's okay. I'm going to pray that you send me a man with a bad back. Okay, why did I pray that? I prayed that because I've been in several car accidents, and I need somebody that can relate to me when I'm slowing down. You know, I don't need somebody that wants to go climb Mount Everest. I need somebody that's kind of just like me. And so here's what happened. I'm going to probably start laughing my head off on this one. So 5 hours later, I get this phone call from Scott Moore up in Chicago, because our church is worldwide, and he's looking for the 30-something singles leader in our group, which happened to be me. But he thought I was going to reach a male, and a 45-minute conversation. We had a great conversation. Found out a lot about him. He found a lot about me. And then at the end, he says, well, what are you doing this weekend? He wasn't asking me on a date or anything. And I said, we're going to play volleyball tomorrow, but I can only play a couple games because I have a bad back. He says, wow, we're going to play volleyball tomorrow too, but I recently had a back injury. And then all of a sudden, it was like, oh, my goodness. And then the light bulb went on, and it was like, okay, I have to go now, but whenever you want me to come up to Chicago and help you with the 30-something singles group, just give me a call, and bye-bye. And it was like, my friend was standing there, and she said, you look like you have seen a ghost. And I said, oh, my gosh, I just talked to my future husband. And, well, 21 years later, that's my husband, Scott Moore. And when I start getting down and I start feeling like God's not listening to me or I'm losing my faith, I go back to all these prayers and all these prayers that have been answered by God to rebuild my faith. And it has just been an amazing adventure. And there's so much more. I'm going to have to do another show on this. But, You know, the bottom line of it is that I want to give you a challenge. I want you to start reciting the prayer of Jabez every day for 2 weeks. I want you to Google it, but start reciting this prayer every day. I can honestly say this will change your life. I mentioned at the beginning I was overwhelmed with all the prayers being answered. Well, this is how it happened. I do not get out of my bed unless I say this. God, bless me indeed and enlarge my territory so that your hand would be with me and keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. You know, when you pray a prayer like that and you don't put any restrictions on God, it's amazing to see what he can do. Okay? Well, listen, my friends, my time is up, but my next radio talk show will be on October 13th. However, the time has changed because I have an event to attend to. The new time next week will be at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The topic that I have chosen is it will be on Consider It Pure Joy. And, you know, because in order to be able to pray with faith and confidence, we must be willing to take that step and find out if we are peace and joy, and we're considering it pure joy. It's not easy. It's not easy. I'm not there. I can tell you that. So anyway, if you need a breakthrough from your past, please reach out to me to begin your coaching sessions. My number is 317-527-1392. If you are a business owner and you know your staff could use this, we are available for lunch and learns or workshops. We are also available to speak at your events. Please contact us for price quotes. And speaking of workshops, Terry L. Moore and team, along with Kathy Pageant from the Small Business Expo, is hosting a wonderful life-changing workshop on November 5th. This will be at the Microtel Inn off of 465 and Rockville Road from 5:30 to 9. We will be speaking about courage and power. Don't we all need that? It is going to be incredible. We will have pampering going on, chair massages, all kinds of different fun stuff, snacks, and exhibits. Please Facebook me or reach out to me through my website at terrylmoreandteam.com. For a ticket, limited space is available, but I would love to see everyone out there. It is going to be a sold-out event. We just know that because so many people out there, they want to find their real self, and they want to learn to love that person back in the mirror. Is that you? If so, please call us today. We can help. We're seeing women change before our very eyes. So, my friends, I am signing off for now, but I hope you have a wonderful and prayerful week, and I will see you back next Tuesday at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God bless you.